Hello, everybody. This is Shay McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. It's my pleasure to introduce you to SkillBow1. He can be found on Instagram at SkillBow1. He comes on the show today to talk about cloning. I've been talking with SkillBow1 for the past few days, and I can tell he's passionate about growing his own, and he's someone I know you guys will appreciate. He's a home grower from Michigan, and his growing medium is soilless, that is peat moss based. But what I found interesting is that he uses aquaponics to clone and then he transfers his clone to soil. I think you'll enjoy this show and I look forward to your questions when it ends. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right, here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shay McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, and I have a Michigan home grower. He can be found on Instagram. His Instagram name is SkillBow1. That's SkillBow1. And he comes on the show today to talk about the basics of cloning. So if you could you please tell my audience a little bit about yourself, and then we can get right into the topic of cloning.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I am a grower in Michigan. I've been growing my own since 2012. I am a legal Michigan medical marijuana patient, even though it's legal in the state now.
Sure.
Thank you to the voters. I have fibromyalgia and crushed discs in my neck and my back. So I grow my own and I don't take any kind of prescription medications. I just use cannabis.
Okay. All right. Well, SkillBow1, thank you for that brief introduction. I really do appreciate it. But listen, let's get right into the basics of cloning. And really, I mean, you are going to be speaking from a new grower's perspective. I mean, how does a new grower properly clone? I mean, what should and should they not do?
I think it's most important to only clone plants that are healthy. And what that means is if your plant is nutrient deficient in any way and showing any discoloration, or if it's sick, or if it has bugs, you have to wait and get that out of the plant and get it healthy again as the mother before you can take clones from it.
Okay. Well, I mean, how do you tell that it is a healthy mother? I mean, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm. The color on most plants tends to be really Kelly green and bright, though some are darker and some are lighter always. But you will know because the leaves will be up. They sometimes call it praying hands that you'll see. When your leaves are up, they're very happy. Those are plants that are ready to be cloned. You also have to wait until they are a certain age because you need to have a certain set of nodes on each branch that you will cut off. So if you went from, say, the top of the plant, you would count down 3 or 4 or 5 nodes before you made your cut with a pair of previously sterilized Fiskars or scissors. You don't necessarily have to use a razor blade. I know that that's in a lot of the books, but as long as it's clean, you're good.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Now, let's assume this is a aquaponics setup, right? And you have a mini reservoir.
Yes.
Now when it comes to growing from that perspective, the same question applies. I mean, what should and should a person not do when it comes to growing?
Sure. When I first started growing, I used to use, they're called rapid rooters. They are these little peat moss plugs, and I tried cloning in those. And I've used the rock wool cubes, which you have to pre-soak those cubes. I've done it that way. What I found works best for me is a deep water culture style of aquaponics. What that means is that I have think of a small tote that is probably a little bit bigger than a large shoebox that you would put about 2 gallons of water into in the bottom. And on the bottom down there, you have a pump that basically keeps the water in there moving around. Mm-hmm. And you have an air stone, which also adds air into the medium, the water. Oxygenating the water helps. Okay, so that's why it's a deep water culture system. I use an OxyClone 20 site, and I have had 100% success rate in this method for the last 6 cycles that I've had it, whereas previously with the other methods, I was hit or miss. But it was probably just my mistake and not being smart about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, what are some mistakes that you made there?
Well, back when I learned to grow, the internet was still kind of young for, you know, all of the information, and I wasn't very well versed at using it. So I listened to other people that had grown before. Mm-hmm. And so I used the clone dome system, where you have, you know, the small black tray and you have the dome that goes over top of it, and then you put your plugs inside and you cut your clones, you stick them inside, and you are not supposed to water them. Well, the person that told me to do it was like, oh no, put some water down in the bottom there, bro, that way they don't dry out. Well, what I was doing was it was drowning the roots. They couldn't get any oxygen, so they were very weak if they did take it all. So that was one mistake that I made. If you do use that method, I would recommend using a spray bottle to keep the humidity up inside of there and try not to spray the actual plugs or whatever you're using. Just spray the leaves and the inside of the dome.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, fair enough. Prior to this recording, I mean, you and I talked about gels, right?
Yes.
Now let's delve a little bit deeper there. I mean, should a person use gels, or should they not use gels when it comes to cloning?
I think that you would use the gels if you were in a regular situation where you used either the root riot plugs or you used the rock wool. And the reason is because the cloning gels are really hormones. Mm-hmm. And they help produce the root sites in the beginning and help it thrive. What I use, though, is I don't have to use cloning gel, because when I put my clones into my cloner, they are sticking with the tips inside of the water. So the water already has my B1 vitamins, which is from Hormax. So I don't have to actually, you know, how you would cut them and stick them into the cloning gel and wait 2-3 minutes or a half hour. Some people put it in a cup of a solution of that and let it sit overnight. The thing about cloning is that there are 5,000 methods to do this.
Right. Yeah.
That's the problem, is that there is no, this is how we clone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough. I mean, well, I tell you what, I mean, you know,
would you like me to just walk you through the process?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know it's a podcast and it's not a YouTube video, but I mean, really, I mean, if you could you, you know, I mean, not just walk me, but, you know, walk the listeners through that process.
Sure. Okay. So if you have a plant that is healthy, and you look at it, you're going to see all kinds of sites on it where you could take a clone from. Mm-hmm. What I do is I tend to take my clones from the top of the plant and not the bottoms. The bottoms for me, I think, are woody. They're weaker. They're not getting good sunlight or anything else. I want the strongest, most robust cuts that I can get, that when they root, they're going to take off and shoot to the moon. I don't want something weak that's going to struggle and maybe clone in 3 weeks. And that's just not smart for me. You know, even though I am a home grower, I do want to stay on schedule and on track.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Okay, so I've just figured out where I'm going to get it. I'm going to cut it from this site right here. Mm-hmm. So if you have a pair of Fiskars or scissors, that is a good visualization of about how long the clone is going to be when you cut it down at the end. That's okay. What you're going to stick into the medium. So you're going to cut a little bit below, and you can make your cut on a 45-degree angle. Then you're going to stick it in water for a second to keep it from getting what's called an embolism, which is where air gets into the cutting and it can cause it to not root. So we stick it into water for a second, then we pull it back out. Some people like to scrape or split the end of the clone, hoping that will create a stronger root or a different kind of root. I haven't found that myself. I think it's kind of, you know, plant specific.
Okay.
So once I take my cut, I go ahead and I take the clone collar that goes into the top of the cloner. It's a little neoprene ring, like a circle puck, and it has a slit from the outside to the inside center, and that's what you slide around the clone. Then you stick it inside of the cloner, and there you go. The cloner is running already. You've already put your newts and everything in it. Mm-hmm. That one's done. Let's go back and do another one.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, now, I mean, how long does it take to sprout there?
Some plants are really, really quick, and then some plants are notoriously hard to clone.
Okay.
So typically what you want to see is roots within 7 to 14 days. A lot of times it's 7 to 10 days, and then you'll try to grow them out a little bit in there to make the roots longer. It's not just that you see the little root beards and you're good to go and you can throw it in whatever medium you're going to use. You want to grow those roots out to maybe an inch or two or three or however long you want to go. And eventually what you'll do is you'll take it out of the cloner and move it into your next pot, whatever that's going to be, whatever the medium is. And now you have a plant that's ready to go.
Ready to go. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, and that, you know, really that leads me to my next question, is temperature water. Now, how important is the temperature water when it comes to, cloning, in, you know, in your current setup?
I think that it's very important. If you use a deep water culture system, aquaponics, like I'm using, yes, if the water temperature gets too high, you can develop what's called pythium. And pythium is a fancy word for root rot.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is that you, instead of having white, you know, Hollywood teeth-looking roots coming out of the bottom of this thing, now they're, you know, brown and nasty and gnarled like, you know, some kind of hobos down on Main Street, just nasty looking. And mm-hmm. they stink, and they're dying. They're done. They're infected. Now what you could do is if you caught that early enough, you could change your reservoir out and run it with some kind of sanitizer in it, like a UC Roots or a bleach or a H2O2, which is hydrogen peroxide, to try to clean those up.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, go back and build your reservoir and go again. But sometimes I would say it's better to just dump the res, lose the clones, go take other cuts, and start the process over again and watch your temperature. Your temperature, your water doesn't, you don't want it to go, I think it's 78, but you really want it to be lower than that. You want it to be, you know, 70 would be great. You know, you don't need to put your clones under a big light, so you can kind of play with that. Keep your cloner on the floor where if you grow in your basement, you can keep it on the floor and the water is going to be cooler because it's on the floor.
Sure. Right. Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, here's a question. I mean, what happens if your water, I mean, I don't know. Well, what happens if your water is too cold? I mean,
the slow growth, and in a hydroponic system, let's say that it maybe not the cloner per se, but if you were doing a hydroponics grow in flower, some people would like to drop their temperatures down because that can make the plant express itself in different colors. It will darken the colors and maybe bring out the purples and the blues and the oranges and stuff on it. But it does make it harder for the plant to really get going. If you get down to like 49 degrees in your reservoir, you know, mm-hmm. your plants are shocking and they're not growing.
Right. Right. Yeah. They need a little bit more warmth there.
If we're facing that issue, you could use an aquarium heater, a small one or whatever size your reservoir is. You know, if we're talking a cloner, you just need a tiny one and you can set the water temperature to whatever you want if that was an issue. You could also use, there's a thing called a seedling pad that plugs into the wall. Have you ever seen those before?
I have seen those. It's been a while since I actually looked at one, to be honest.
Yeah, you could put that underneath of your cloner too if you needed to heat the water up on a poor man's method.
Okay. On a poor man's method, huh? Yeah. All right.
Cheap home grow, that's the name, baby.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Hey, everybody. I know it's the middle of the show, but when this show ended, Skillbo One and I continued to talk on the phone, and I asked him a few important questions about cloning, so be sure to pay attention to his answers at the end of the show. Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you what. I mean, in terms of cloning in a aquaponic setup. I mean, how much, you know, I mean, since my podcast is called Cheap Home Grow, how much would you estimate that this all actually cost?
Well, it's funny you asked that. The OxyCloner, when I bought it for 50, I think I got it like $54 at a discount. Yeah. But I seen today, I was looking before the podcast, that some places are charging $80 for them.
Really?
What you could do, though, if you really wanted to give this a shot and go on the cheap with it, since it's a cheap home grow, you could take a 5-gallon bucket or a small tote, whatever you have that you want to use. I wouldn't get too carried away with it big because, you know, you're going to need more pumps for it. Mm-hmm. But you could literally go get an aquarium pump and some air stones. I tend to use the ones that some people call them soda cans. Mm-hmm. They are probably 4 inches long and probably 1.5 inches circular around, so it's like a soda can. And you would plug those in, and you're going to use those to aerate the water. You're going to drop those into the res, put your nutrient mix in there with it, and you could cut little tiny holes in the top to accept these neoprene collars that are really cheap. You can get them at any hydro store. You can get really nice ones, though, too, that are sterilizable. The name of the company on that is, I believe, Permaclone. It's expensive, but you can sanitize these in your microwave or in a steam pressure cooker or chemically. You know, the other ones, not so much. You know, it's cheap. It's, you can replace them every time if you really wanted to.
Right, right. Okay.
How much is it worth to you to keep your genetics alive? If you have that one plant that is just fire for you, you're like, oh, my God, this just hits all the right notes for me. It tastes great. It grows well. It smells nice. It's very robust. I like this plant. Then I want to clone that plant. I don't want to just, you know, let's say that it was a super silver haze. Well, how many other super silver haze seeds will I need to pop before I can find that exact genetic copy?
Right.
Cloning gives you that in spades. You are taking a genetic copy of that plant, and you can keep it in perpetuity. You can take a clone of a clone of a clone of a clone, even though people say that you can't. I would say to those people that say that you can't take a clone of a clone, how is it that we have plants that are still, you know, from the early 80s, these ancient, ancient plants that are still around? It's because people are cloning them,
right?
Not repopping seeds.
Right, right, exactly. I mean,
a lot of plants clone only.
Yeah, right, right. And you know, I guess the big issue with cloning is, and you know, I mean, some people that have come on my show that grow from soil have said this. You know, I mean, they, you know, you don't really know, you know, where your clone is coming from, whether they've used pesticides and, you know, so on and so forth. You know,
which, I have heard stories about that for sure. Yeah.
Right, right. And you know, really, I mean, I guess that is a valid point. You know, but I mean, if you are personally cloning your own clone that, say, you know,
you popped from seed. If I popped it from seed, I know that it's clean. I know exactly what's been used on that plant. I know what I've done to it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I've always said about cloning. So, I mean, if you pop the seed and you're like, oh man, this, you know, I mean, as you put
this,
it, if it's fire, you know, I mean, shit, I mean, you might as well clone it. I mean, what's the,
right.
I mean, what the hell is the risk there? I mean, you know,
right. I know sometimes when you get something from someone else, you have to realize if you source a clone from somewhere else, the clone is already adapted to their specific environment.
Exactly.
Their grow lights, their temperature, their humidity, everything about that. That plant may thrive in their garden, but it may take a cycle or two of you running it subparly for it to come around and adjust to your environment. But I typically now, after having had to play the let's go find clones of something so that I have some kind of medicine to grow for myself, I've gotten to the point now where I have sourced my own genetic seeds, and I'm on a pheno hunt all the time. I'm currently growing out Ninja Fruit by Dojo Seeds. I'm trying to see which one of those plants. I have 4 of those in flower right now. I have something called Jinx Proof's Hit Girl that I got at the Cannabis Cup this year, and I'm trying to find out which ones are the keepers. So I've kept my data on my plants to see which one grows strong. And so once I cut those plants down and harvest them and I dry the smoke and I cure it and I try it, Then what I end up doing is it's a good old time. You try all four strains separately, and you see which one works best for you. Hmm. If you're going to use the plant as medicine, then these are the things that you have to do. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to smoke weed, man. That's what I'm going to do. Right. Well, you can get a lot of different effects, man. You really should do some research. I use Leafly and kinds of different sites to check out these plants before I get them to see if it seems like it'll be worthwhile to grow out and clone and keep.
Right. Right. Well, you know something, I mean, you mentioned pheno hunting there. Now, I mean, how, and again, I mean, this is coming from a home grower's perspective. I mean, how would you recommend that a person pheno hunt, really? I mean,
sure. Super easy.
You know, and I know, I mean, this could be an entirely different show, really, but I mean, if you could just talk a little bit about that, I would appreciate it.
Okay. I'll give you a quick story. I went to the Cannabis Cup this year, and I met a lot of people that I followed online and stuff, and it was a great time, great energy. Picked up some seeds from a guy, and I've wanted them for years. Mm-hmm. I had that before, and my plant got sick, and I couldn't get it to clone right. Never got out of it, so I had to let that strain go. I tracked it back down. I got a 10-pack of seeds. So I took 5 seeds out of it, and I dropped them into a glass of RO water, which would be reverse osmosis. If you don't have that, you could use tap water, or you could use bottled water, or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. I drop my seeds in there. Once they pop, if all 5 seeds crack open, then I take them out of there and I put them into a paper towel. Okay. And put that paper towel with the water inside of a sandwich bag or a Ziploc container, whatever you have, drain the water out of it so it's just damp. After a few days, those tails will grow out a little bit further, and then you're going to go ahead and plant them in the dirt or whatever medium you're going to use. Mm-hmm. This is what I've done. So I put them into small little, you know, half-gallon containers to 1 gallons, and right now they're flowering. I have some in a 7-gallon. I have some in a 5-gallon. I have some in a 3-gallon. The reason is I want to see what the plant wants to do. Okay. You know, yeah. I put my numbers in there. I numbered each plant 1 through 5, and I put it on the label inside of each pot. So now what I've done is I took all the clones off of those, and I kept those numbered 1 through 5. So it's NF for Ninja Fruit. So I have NF1 mm-hmm. through 5. And I ended up having 1 male. So I had to kill that male off, mm-hmm. got rid of it. And so now I have 4 Ninja Fruits that I am flowering out. I want to see what it's going to be like. And I'm keeping all of those clones back in my veg room, waiting to see which of these plants are keepers. Then I will get rid of the ones that I don't like. So right now, like, my number 1 Ninja Fruit is really, really, really tall. It's mm-hmm. really showing the sativa side of things. Okay. And that's a cross between, what is that? It's Grape Ape and Grapefruit Haze. So my number 1 plant is expressing the Grapefruit Haze side of things, big time, really tall. Okay. But I have another one that's my number 4. Number 4 is really, really short and bushy. So that's going to be expressing more of the Grape Ape side of things. Hmm. So for me, I'm like, oh, man, I need good pain medication and stuff. But I have PTSD and stuff. So, you know, a little kick to the mood is always a nice thing for me.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to just go with 100% indica. Mm-hmm. So you're going into this and you're looking for what you want out of a particular plant. Because no two of those are the same. It's kind of like if you have 5 brothers and sisters. You're all from the same parents, but you're not the same.
Right, sure.
So you have to find out which ones works for you. You get done, you harvest those plants, you pull them down, you dry the smoke, you cure it, you smoke it, and then you figure out which one you like the best. And you'll definitely have one that you like the best. Right. Keep that one. That's your mother plant. Now you just keep cloning that one. Mm-hmm. Take clones off of it. 10 days before you flip that plant into flower, then you grow those out. And then 10 days before those are going to flip into flower, you take clones off of those and you just keep, that's how you do perpetual grow.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, if, yeah, exactly. I mean, that can last years and years and years, really.
Yeah. And you'll dial it in because you know how long your strain takes, mm-hmm. you know, like some strains take 63 days. Some strains take over 70.
Right. That's true. That's true there. And you know something? I mean, here's a question for you. Now, I mean, you grow, you know, in a aquaponic setup, right?
Yeah.
And let's say somebody grows in soil.
Yep, that's what I flower in.
Right. Now, could, you know, since you grow in aquaponics, could you take a clone from aquaponics and put it, you know, into a soil?
Yep, that's what I do.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right.
Yep. Okay. You can take your clone right out of there. You'll have your nice spiky roots in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I like to take. I don't grow in solo cups anymore. Mm-hmm. I just grow in like the square. I can't remember what size they are, but it's beautiful because you can fit 8 of them mm-hmm. into a cloning tray. You know, to right. serve as like a reservoir to hold the water, just to bottom water your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something you want to do with the clone once you put it into the dirt, is you don't want to just keep watering the top and have the bottom be dry. Right. You want those roots to grow to the bottom of the pot so that you can size up your next pot and you can get a bigger and bigger root ball. Because the bigger the root ball, the bigger the fruit ball, man.
Right. Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, something, I mean, could you apply that to say a growing medium of coco coir?
Sure. Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same approach. Yeah.
They're all soilless materials. One, you know, if you use like ProMix or Sunshine Number 4 or whatever, mm-hmm. those are just, instead of being a coco coir, mm-hmm. those are a peat moss and sphagnum mix, mm-hmm. you know, like the bog material.
Okay.
If you grow in cocoa, that is sourced from the hulls of coconuts.
Of coconuts. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And then sterile and all that.
Right.
And then you can grow in hydroton, which is the little tiny lava rock clay balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you grow in a hydroponic system, if you were going to flower in that, I used to use a 10-inch net pot, which fits exactly on top of a 5-gallon bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And you fill that, you put some stones on the bottom, then you put your clone in there, and then you put more stones over top of it, and that becomes your medium. You don't have any dirt.
Really?
Okay. Which is less shit to muck up the pumps or anything else, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all about keeping it pretty simple for sure.
Definitely. Cause you can definitely spend way too much money doing this and you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to break the bank. I mean, you can go on Instagram and you can see these growers that have just warehouses of, you know, fantastic, but hey, that's awesome, man. That's great. And I'm not knocking them, but I'm a small guy. I'm just me. I'm not trying to break the bank. I'm just trying to produce something solid that works for me on a consistent basis, that I know what is in it. I know exactly what it was done to it. I know what pesticides haven't been used on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good to go.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, okay. Well, you know, I mean, I tell you what, Skilbo, I mean, Are there any questions that I should be asking? Any final statements that you would like to make?
Final statements on cloning.
Mm-hmm.
Take from someone who was very poor at it in the beginning, who has finally found a method that works for him. That's all it comes down to. Find a method that works for you at this and do it. The you can grow however you want to grow. You can grow whatever you want to grow. Just grow your own. Don't break the bank. Don't get caught up in the hype games of things.
Right.
Don't poo-poo other growers or think that your way is the only way, because it's not. Cannabis has been getting used for 10,000 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
It all we're trying to do is get it to flip over into flower and then wait for it to die.
Right.
That's how simple it is. You're just waiting for the plant to die at the end so you can harvest it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's a pretty simple process, but I mean, it's like, I've talked to, well, probably at this point, a little less than 100 growers and,
wow.
And, you know, really, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, I mean, I can ask, it's funny because I can ask the same question
and get 100 answers.
Right. Then. Yeah. It's like, in a sense, it's kind of like going down to the DMV, you know, like. You know, you go down to the DMV, you ask one clerk one question, and then you go to the next clerk and you ask the same question, and they give you two completely different answers, you know?
Yeah, Shane, I got a better one for you.
Yeah.
Here's one you can remember.
All right. What's that?
The only thing two growers can agree upon is that a third grower is doing it completely fucking wrong.
Right, I know, huh? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Yeah, you got to keep the hatred down, man.
Right. I know, right? I mean, that's it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad because, I mean, I see a lot of guys and, you know, I mean, most, you know, most people, you know, the people that have come on my show, they're all good people. They don't give anybody any crap.
No, man. You know, that's not the community. The cannabis community, right. Not that way.
Right, right, exactly. As long as we are helping one another and we grow together, then, you know, essentially that's what it's all about.
For sure, man. That's the cannabis community.
Definitely.
That other community, man, that's the cash cow community, brother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Those are the people that are in it for cash, and those are the ones that are doing the dirt and shit. But if you're about the plant, man, you tend to be pretty mellow.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
I really just want to say thanks for letting me come on the show, man. I really enjoyed it. Sure. I hope that I was able to, even if I was just able to explain one thing to one person out there, man, that's a win. We're helping somebody else, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean,
grow your own.
Yeah, exactly. Grow your own, and, you know, we grow together. So absolutely, man. And
grow with me, man.
All right. Right. Yeah. Grow with me. Yeah. That's a good one. I'm going to have to steal that.
It's stolen. You got it.
All right, man. Hey, listen, thank you again. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shane.
No problem. Hey, everybody. After the recording ended, Skilbo and I continued to talk, and some interesting questions came up. I figured they would be a nice addition to the show, so I figured I would record his answers. I asked him why he uses aquaponics as a cloning system, and what his recipe is for the oxycloner. Enjoy his answers. Why is a aquaponic system good for cloning, and then, you know, why do you take that clone and then transfer it to soil?
Well, the reason is because aquaponics to me is what I've had the best success with, because literally it's something I cut, I stick into the neoprene collar, I stick it into the reservoir, and the cloner does the rest of the work. I don't have to come back in. I don't have to remember to lift the lid off and let oxygen in as if I was using a clone dome. I don't have to do any of those things. And you say, well, why don't you just grow it all the way, you know, from start to finish that way? Right. And I would say, because in Michigan, everybody thinks that it's just freezing fucking cold up here. And it's not, man. Like, it's really bad. In the summertime, you know, it'll get up to 92, 94, 96 degrees. And then the humidity here will be like fucking 90%.
Right, yeah.
You know, so if I was trying to grow hydroponically from start to finish, what I would have to do then is, now it's not a cheap home grow, now it's an expensive home grow, because I've got to pay for an air conditioner so that I can keep my room temperatures cool enough so that I can keep my reservoir temperatures right, or I have to spend $400 on a chiller. See, we're getting away from that cheap home grow thing again.
Right.
Now, you know, at the same time, in the wintertime in Michigan is the prime time to grow hydroponically. I've done it in the past. And I had great success with it. In fact, what I have in my cloner right now is that Hit Girl that's just started into flower. Those are going to find the strongest one, and I'm going to pop it into a deep water culture system and flower it out this winter and see what I get.
What is the recipe that you use in your cloner?
I got this recipe from Med Grower on his YouTube channel, and basically what it says is that you use 2 gallons of either RO water or bottled water. You add it to the cloner, and then you add the UC roots, which is basically like pool shock. Or you can use H2O2, which is simple hydrogen peroxide, or you can use bleach. But I can't remember how little of bleach you use. What you're doing is you're sterilizing the water. You're making sure that nothing bad can grow in it. Okay, so then once you do, you're going to turn the pumps on, and you're going to let it cycle for a few minutes to sterilize. Then what I do is I add the Hormex, which is my B1 vitamin, as well as the Grow and the Bloom nutrients. I take my cuts, I put them in the neoprene collars, and I'm off to the races. So that recipe is to use 20 milliliters of UC roots, which ends up being 10 milliliters a gallon. I use 6 milliliters of Hormex at 3 milliliters a gallon. I use 5 milliliters of Micro at 2.5 milliliters a gallon. And I use 10 milliliters of Bloom at 5 milliliters a gallon. And so at the first sign of roots, I dump my res, I refill it with just water and the UC roots again.
And the clones are going to bust out new growth the next day because they're searching for where those earlier newts were in the original res. So you're going to do that for a few more days. Bang, it's off to the races. And then you're putting them in your next medium, which for me would be soil. Okay. Putting them in the ProMix. Putting them in the Sunshine number 4. Whatever. You've grown your roots out. They took off. You're done. Mm-hmm. Now it's a matter of, you know, putting them in the new medium, shutting the cloner down, cleaning it, sterilizing it. I have my wife sterilize my cloner for me. She does an immaculate job of everything. So mm-hmm. We kind of tag team that.
Sure. All right. Well, now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And lastly, in spirit of the cheap home grow, all I right. will give you a method that will work. You just have to trust me. All if right. you go up to a plant in veg and you cut off a clone, you don't need to do anything but stick it into a bottle of bottled water and stick it under a light. And I think that you will have luck within 10 days. You should be able to get roots off of that. So that's free, basically.
Really?
Who doesn't have water? Yeah.
Right. Well, what type is it? Is it purified water or just simply tap
yeah,
water?
You could just tap water. You could, as long as it was like pH right, if you wanted right. to, you would pH that solution down. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is, you know, if you're using aquaponics, a lot of times they tell you to have your pH at 6.0 or below. I don't really worry about it too much. I figure it's kind of going to be what it's going to be. If it drifts up a little bit, that's fine. But when I reset the res, then I'll set it back to 6.0, mm-hmm. you know, and go from there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast with SkillBo1. He can be found on Instagram at SkillBo1. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode44 to get show highlights. And please remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.